Want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus this morning and take that name with us where we go. It's been interesting to study the book of Timothy, the epistle to Timothy. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first epistle was one of the earliest written records we have in the New Testament, the life of the church. And then this last epistle, I think, is the latest one. And it's very interesting. We didn't have enough time this morning. We almost never have enough time in Sunday school. It seems like we need to increase that somehow. And I know how it can be done, but and that's just simply take more time in that. Maybe that'll put a squeeze on the teachers downstairs, but I would certainly be in favor of taking more time. And I would sacrifice my time here if that would work. But I just think it's terribly interesting this morning. We see a full circle in Paul's life. One of the things that has been really interesting to me in looking at Paul's life, and that is that there was a time, maybe with good reasons, he and Barnabas split, maybe not with good reasons. But this morning in that chapter we read, we see him exhorting Timothy, and he says, exhort with all longsuffering. We discussed that a little bit in our class. And a little bit later he says, bring Mark, because he's profitable for the ministry. I think Paul learned something in his life. He was a very talented, a very gifted man, and God used him in a tremendous way. But God was still teaching him, even with all of his knowledge and even with all that he knew. He was in a place that God could teach him. And it's a tremendous lesson for all of us. We're never at a point where we have it, where we can no longer learn, where we have it all together, but we always can learn. Brother John this morning read Colossians chapter 3. I think that chapter is probably one of the most read chapters for devotionals in church, and for good reason. It's a tremendously rich chapter. Verse 16 is a verse that, I don't know, probably all of us have memorized at some time in our life, but maybe none of us would volunteer to say it right now. Do we have any volunteers to say verse 16? Just stand up and say it. Okay. You know, I think we all believe that if the Word of God is important to us, that we're going to read it, we're going to study it, we're going to meditate on it, and we're going to memorize it. But maybe in reality it doesn't actually happen. So maybe in reality it isn't really that important to us. Let's turn to Colossians 3 and read verse 16. Now, I'd like to exhort this morning with long suffering. And this is a verse that's familiar to us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's a pretty long verse, but it all fits together. Now, I'm going to look at the time, and it's, I can't see clearly, but I think it's about 10:36. And I think if we would say this, read this together five times, that we'll be able to close our Bibles and say it together. Let's see if we can. All right? All together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, now look in now. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making your hearts to the Lord. All right, 3 minutes. Didn't have any volunteers before. Now do we have a volunteer? Not yet. Okay. Just a little time, a little concentration, a little effort will go a long ways. Look at the verse, read it again and again, look at it in phrases. I think it's something that when we have verses that can be read or can be memorized or read, it should be participated in. I think that that's important. All right, for devotions this morning, for an opening, I'd like to invite your attention to Luke chapter 18, a very familiar account, and yet, like our Sunday school lesson said this morning, or I guess it was last Sunday, that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, or for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Luke chapter 18, start reading with verse 9. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that thou art not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, I'm sure that none of you have read this for the first time this morning. And I'm confident that our sympathies are with the publican and probably our anger or our feelings, our biases turned against the Pharisee. But I don't think that's what Jesus is teaching in this little account. Think of the publicans in those days. Who were they? You boys that go to school, what was a publican's job? Do you know? What was his job? All right, we'll go to the young people. What was a publican's job? Anybody?
Tax collector.
He was a tax collector. How many of you love your tax collector? And it's interesting how they did their job. I've had a little bit of interest in tax tables and so on, and watch them. And you know, if you make a certain amount of money, you can make a certain amount of money in the U.S. and not pay too much taxes. And right now, it's pretty friendly to the families. Having children is it's pretty friendly. The tax laws favor that pretty good. But if you make a little bit more, you send quite a bit to the to the United States Treasury. And if you make a little bit more than that, you should really send quite a bit more. And it really adds up pretty quickly. And so those tables are for everybody. And it's a little bit more fair than what it was in Jesus' day when the publicans could have the certain amount that they needed to collect for the government, and then they could add to whatever they felt, pretty well whatever they felt they could get by with. And, maybe it was just like it is today. The IRS is really not a arm of the government. It's just an entity that they use to collect for the government. And so they're a little bit out of the government's arm there. But anyhow, here was a man that was collecting taxes and not necessarily in a fair way, and yet our sympathies are there with him. Why? Why are our sympathies with the publican? It's because of what Jesus said. You know, there he was. He recognized himself as a sinner. And you know what? He probably really was a sinner. But somehow our minds don't stop with that, but we recognize that here's a man that was calling on God in a sincere way, and the Lord heard him and honored his prayer. And then there was the Pharisee. And naturally, because of what Jesus said here, our mind is biased against the Pharisee. And yet, it's not always that way either. Who were some good Pharisees in the Bible? Anybody?
Gamaliel.
Okay. I heard Gamaliel. Who was another one?
Nicodemus.
And who did we just get finished studying? Paul. You know, God used those men in a tremendous way. Each one was special in their field. They weren't all like this Pharisee was. And not nearly all the publicans were like the publican that smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And yet, in our mind, it's easy for us to see the Pharisees as all self-righteous and the publicans as all repentant sinners. Well, that's not the case. We have another instance of a publican as a repentant, and that's Zacchaeus. And I love that story. That Jesus went to him went to his house, and Zacchaeus received him joyfully and made his wrongs right. You know, it was a tremendous story of restitution. But this morning, no matter where we're found, if we're found as a sinner, as a publican, or if we're found as a Pharisee that initially the Pharisees were started to make sure that Israel never fell into idolatry again. Those were the early roots of the Pharisees. They made rules and laws that would ensure that Israel would never fall away into idolatry. But they fell away into something just as sinister, and that's something that took them away from God. And so it didn't solve the whole problem. Focusing on Christ is what they needed to do. They needed to see Jesus as the Messiah, and some of them did, like Nicodemus, and like Gamaliel had an open mind, and Paul was used in a tremendous way, and we have his letters today, and he was a Pharisee. And so they were not all this self-righteous man that we see in this chapter. But Jesus says that these two men went to the temple to pray, and one recognized his need, and one recognized himself as being someone that is not like these other people. And God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You know, this is one thing interesting in this scripture. It's the only place that I see that someone is thankful and it's wrong. The only place that I know of that the person is actually thankful and it's wrong for him to be thankful. And we can see why it is there, because he's self-righteous and he's lifting himself up. But Jesus goes on to make the comparison, and the Pharisee said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Doing good things. Doing things that were actually God-honoring, except the fact that he was bragging on himself and had a haughty attitude toward his fellow man that was praying there in the temple also. And so all the good things canceled out right there. All the good things that he had done before he went to the temple to pray were canceled because of his attitude there at the time of prayer. And Jesus, and then we have the publican standing afar off and would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, that heart of humility and contrition is what spoke to the Lord that day. And I think that's what he's telling speaks to the Lord today. And so Jesus went and made this statement. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It's a principle that Jesus spoke in his day, and it's a principle that is in effect today. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Dear Lord, as we come before you, we want to thank you for your love and your mercy to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have of coming together to worship you in this way. May you be in our midst and make one. May your name be glorified. Brother Rogers, who brings that word to us, and help our hearts be open and receptive to it. We ask them in your name. Amen.